Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Scale Riders Podcast. Want to give some shout outs to my sponsors, Scale World, the art in Scale World. Make sure you check out their website for complete builds, event coverage, and everything that has to do with scale modeling. Their website, scaleworld.net, where you can also listen to Scale Riders Podcast straight from the website. And shout out to Dedicated Magazine. Volume 2 is already out. And stay tuned. Check them out on Instagram because Volume 3 is in the works. All right, guys. And also the website, too, dedicatedmagazine.com. Let's get on with the show. Scale Riders Podcast, episode 78. My guest, Alex Ramirez, all the way from Northern California, also a member of Table Scrapers MCC. And on Instagram, you guys might know him as El Handis. Let's go ahead and give Alex a call.
Hello?
Yo, Alex, what's up?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing good, man. Just right here, chilling out. What about you?
Nice. I was just actually working on the Regal now.
Oh, for real?
Out the rear trunk fin. Yeah.
Oh, nice. I saw.
I got some time to kill, so I'll get on it.
That's dope. I did see you had it in the primer stages already.
Yeah, that's the Monty too. I'm trying to get a couple of G bodies going.
Damn, that's tight, man. Are you getting those ready for your upcoming event?
Probably for the show in September. I'm going to try to have at least 6 new builds going.
Oh, that's dope.
Trying to.
Yeah, man. Dang. You're stacking it then. Right there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what's up, dude. No, that's cool. Yeah, man. Just been chilling. I haven't been really working on any model cars lately. I just been kind of just playing around with the pinstriping stuff. But I feel like I'm kind of like in a little, I've been like tired, a little burned out by the time I get off work, when I get home.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
yeah. Hell yeah.
You know, that mood. I'm like I want to, but then I don't. I don't want to bust everything out, but I feel like I'm kind of getting over that now.
Yeah, hell yeah. No, I know that feeling for sure. That's how it was for the past few months.
Yeah, what do you normally do to get through that when you get kind of burned out?
I don't know. Sometimes like I'll do something like completely different. Like for a while, like I was doing like just concentrating on lowriders, and it did kind of burn me out. And then that's when I got my little Datsun kit, the little Bluebird of the 510.
Mm-hmm.
And I jumped into that, and it's completely different. So I had to put away all my lowrider stuff and just kind of dig out whatever import stuff that I had.
Nice.
And it kind of did bring me out of the funk a little bit, you know, because you got to do something different styles. You got to look at different pictures and everything.
Yeah.
And what even helped, too, I actually called my buddy that owns a few of the real Datsun 510s. You know, looked at some of his cars and everything, and it just kind of got me back into it right away, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's tight, man.
And then drawing, too. Yeah, drawing also helps, too. It's just kind of like,
dude,
from one hobby to another.
Yeah, I had no idea you drew it. Because when you sent me that letter in the mail and you had that Impala drawn on there, I was like, whoa, what the heck? It like threw me off. I was like, dude, this is so cool.
Yeah, I used to draw all the time and shit, like, well, especially in high school, like, you know, instead of paying attention to class, I'd just sit there and draw.
Yeah.
that's what I used to do for the longest, and then I kept bouncing around back and forth and doing things, and I'm trying to get back into drawing again, like doing cartoons again.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, I gotta get back into, like, the anatomy drawings and everything, so doing facial expressions and all the stuff that I had trouble with, and drawing hands in particular. I fucking hate drawing hands, but...
Uh-huh.
I figure if I get good at it, I don't have to do it as much.
Yeah, it's crazy because even like I have my girlfriend, her niece, she's into drawing and stuff. And I was watching her draw last time we saw her, but she was very like particular about the feet, the positioning of the feet, the hand, especially the hands. She was talking about And then she drew, like, she was drawing the head and the hair, but she wasn't drawing the face yet. Like, inside, I guess she was, I don't know if she was leaving that to the end, but I guess she wanted to, based on the body language of the drawing, it was going to, I guess, shape the expression to the face.
Yeah, that's a trip. From the people that I've known, like, growing up that do a lot of drawing, and they're really good, like, way better than me. Like, me, they make me look like a beginner. Some of them, like, start with just, like, the nose and do everything else, and other ones start with just the shape of the head, and then they go inwards, and it's a trip. Like, everybody has their own little style, and then once you kind of catch on to how they do it, it's like you kind of get blown away when they're done. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
How did you think of that?
No, that's true. Yeah, I really like the roof that you drew on this car. How it's like it's sticking up. It's like very cartoony, but I like it. It's pretty rad.
Yeah, I got that from I don't know what they call them, but it's, I don't know if it's either anime or because I notice a lot of people in Korea do it, where they do the roof super stretch stuff, you know, and then they shorten up the body and everything. I forget what they call that style, but I've always liked that. Like, I remember seeing some of my old neighbors back in. I live in Oakland back again now, but the guy would always draw, like, you know, the skylines and little Toyotas like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck, why not do everything else? Like, most cars, lowriders and everything else. It's a car, you know?
Yeah. Isn't there, I feel like I've seen someone on Instagram too, that's scratch building something similar like that with the roof stretched.
Yeah. I'll tag you on the guy's Instagram. I think his name is called Plamo Builder or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And he's built a few model cars like that, where he cuts them all up, like sections them out, stretches the roof, redoes the windshields from scratch, everything. And it's just, when they're done, it's like badass fucking cars.
Yeah, they look cool.
Like, I'm not going to lie, I got a few that started like that, and I fucked them up, and I'm kind of like, I'll just put them away and just get back to them sometime.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah, because I feel like I've seen, like, something like that, like someone making something like that. And I was like, that's interesting, but it looks cool. The way it's all coming together like that.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope. And did you ever collect, like, lowrider stickers back then? The Rolling Hard, and then just, like, it was a bunch of other just brand ones that were coming out too back then.
Yeah, those? Oh, my God. I used to have that and the stupid pencils from school too. We had the little quarter machines with the metallic flake pencils and all that, but the stickers, there was a liquor store off Seminary called El Mercadito. And for a while she didn't have anything. And then one day all of a sudden she had them behind the counter and she asked me, she was like, you like stickers? I was like, yeah. And she gave me like a handful. And so she gave me the stickers and she gave me a bunch of like the press on tattoos.
Yeah.
And then I started seeing those same press-on tattoo designs on some of the shirts at the flea market, too.
Yeah.
So I had a bunch of that stuff for the longest, too. And then when we moved away for a while, it was like, mom just grabbed all that shit, threw it in a box, and took it to Salvation Army. And she said, oh, you don't need any of that shit. And I was like, yeah, damn
it. Now
that I think of it, I was like, man, I could have had all that stuff now.
I know. I wonder if anybody has that stuff up on, like, eBay, like sticker lots.
They do. It's just people are asking crazy money for shit like that now, and it's getting ridiculous. Like, even the little homie dolls and all that stuff, too.
Mm-hmm. They're getting expensive.
There's a hobby shop in Berkeley. It's actually Ace Hardware. And back in the day, before they moved to the new location, it was underneath the Ace Hardware. So you walk downstairs, and the whole place was a hobby shop. It was huge. Like,
oh, wow.
One section, like, one whole aisle that was, like, maybe 30 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides was like tanks, and then you go to the next aisle was military vehicles, and you go to the next aisle was all airplanes, and you go to one corner, it's all like the old school the HO scale trains and all that shit too. And you go to the other side and it was all different style military vehicles, more bigger airplanes, and you go to the far corner towards the back, and I bullshit you not, the wall was maybe 15 feet tall, maybe 40 feet wide. It was all model cars, like everything you could think of, from AMT, Ravel. He had a bunch of the old school shit too, because he would keep a lot of the old school stuff in the back, and he'll kind of just throw it out there.
Dang, yeah. What the heck? Yeah, so, what city was this?
They had everything. In Berkeley, right here. Berkeley, California.
Okay.
Yeah.
What the heck?
I mean, he's still there, but they moved to a different location because the last building was kind of unsafe.
Yeah.
It was an old brick building from the 1920s or whatever. And new location, they had it downsized a hobby shop, but he still has quite a bit of stuff, too.
Yeah, that sounds...
And that's where I remember seeing some of the first lowrider model cars that I've seen as a kid. I was like 6, 7 years old. That were in the lowrider bicycle magazines, too. And what's his name? Beto, they used to... Oh, he passed away, you know. Beto from the guy that originally started the Showcase Hobbies. He had some of his model cars there. And they're still on display there, too. The guys want to keep them there. They're kind of calling on him, you know.
Yeah, wow. So the model store was on the bottom basement, pretty much, and then the hardware store was up top.
Yeah
Man, I would be afraid of like all those tools up or all that weight. Imagine it caving in like crushing all the models.
That's what the guy that was running the hobby shop told me. He said the reason we're relocating is because the building is like structurally unsafe now. Like, you can look at some of the brick walls and they're bowing out. And then I drove by there about a week ago. Mm-hmm. And the whole place is leveled out. Like, they tore it all down already, and they're going to rebuild a new building now too.
Wow, that's crazy. And the new location where they're at, it's just a lot smaller.
Yeah, the hobby section, it's pretty much like about 4 rows, I want to say, compared to before it was a total of like maybe 12 rows of hobby stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that guy had anything that was hobby related, I mean, that guy had it in there. I mean, trains, model cars, slot cars. He had a ton of cars on there, too. And then they even had, like, a slot car track.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, like, a made-up train track that went through the whole entire store. So, like, you'll be sitting there going through some of the boxes of model trains or whatever, and all of a sudden the train just passes over your head.
Wow.
And you'll walk over to the model cars, and then it passes over your head again, too.
That's pretty neat.
It was a trip. Yeah, it was a trip to go in there, but the guy was hella cool. I mean, he's still there, but I've been trying to push business towards him little by little, but people are kind of like, I don't know, a hardware store? I don't trust me, it's a hobby shop, but it's just part of a hardware store.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, when you think of, like, back in those times, it was like the boom was huge for modeling. And then now it's... Like, it's there, but it's more conservative. I feel like people are kind of like, the only store out here that I can think of that's like, that goes all out big is just Pegasus. Big building, you know, lots of not just scale modeling, but also like RC stuff. And then, the Burbank House of Hobbies is also another one, but it's just it's a small building, very small building.
Yeah,
but man, I mean, if we still had stores like that, it would be crazy. Not too long ago, well, this weekend or a week ago, by the time this comes out, George Vision 124 was out here, for the Low Baller Show, and he when he landed, he drove over to Oxnard from LAX. We got to hang out for a little bit, for a couple hours, I'd say, because that was. When he arrived, I was like, it was like perfect. Like, I was going on my lunch break, and we headed over to, I wanted to take him to one of the local, hobby shops there, but in Ventura, it's like a 10-minute drive from my work.
Yeah.
And I introduced him to the owner and we started chopping it up. And then, George was kind of just, you know, telling him nice shop and, you know, it's pretty cool. What you have in here, and I appreciate like what you're doing, you know, having this business, and he was giving them some history, you know, how long he's been in business for, and George told them, you know, like there's been about X amount of shops I've already closed in my area. So then he kind of, they were kind of talking about why, you know, and it was interesting because they did, like he did say the thing is that, there's really not a lot of people that are like fit for that job to like start a hobby shop or to take it over. And he started to point out things like, you know, if you're going to be selling everything aside from cars, you know, like you need to know everything, when it comes to military, like the aviation, tanks, you know, ships, And then also in the model cars, like the cars. And then aside from all that, you also kind of need to be like an engineer too and know everything with like the sizes and a bunch. He was just like laying it on us, you know. We were like, dang, like it's so true when you want to really invest into it. But then, I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, if you start like a small online thing, and then for gradually growing, it'll be fine. But having like a storefront, I think that would be kind of hard.
Yeah, especially with the cost of rent nowadays too for a building, like a commercial building, it's fucking crazy too.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's too much, man. Like it keeps going up, you know. It keeps,
yeah.
And even if I don't know what it is. It's like almost like they just assume, oh well, they're making a lot of money. You know, let's keep raising that rent. I feel like if rent really wasn't that crazy for like hobby shops and even other businesses in general, mom and pop stores, they would still be around, you know?
Oh yeah.
Like if they only had to pay like $1,000 or depending the square footage or $2,000, like a dollar a square foot, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, because what this is doing nowadays too is kind of turning into like commercial hobby shops is turning into like underground hobby shops and shit.
Yeah, no, it is.
Instead of going to the back alleyway to go buy drugs, we're going back in the alleyway to find model cars that are hard to find now and shit.
Not for real. And it's funny you say that because even like I've met up with friends that they're like they live far away and they're like, hey, let's meet up and we're gonna either do like a model trade or, oh, I got these ones that, you know, I was going to buy off of you. Let's meet up. And next thing you know, you're like pulling up in front of a store or in some random parking lot, popping open the trunks, you know. You're over here carrying a box, putting it in there, and then they're doing the same. And it's like people passing by are like, what's going on? Like, that looks so sketchy, you know.
Oh man, I've had to do it a couple weeks ago too.
Yeah, or like you bust out boxes, you put them in the trunk, and then they're over here like counting money. Like here, it's kind of like, it's like wait, and I don't. It's just something. It just feels weird too, like giving someone cash in public, like in front of everybody, and then you're just like, all right, man, later on. It just feels so weird now.
Yeah, because actually my first actual job was at a hobby shop back in the day. It was a hobby shop in San Leandro called the Family Hobby Shop. And it was literally on East 14 and 143rd Ave. It was like between Family Hobby and then there was Hobbies Unlimited further down in San Lorenzo, which is like maybe another 10-15 minute drive from it. But I was working there when I was like 12-13 years old during the summer. And now that I think of it, I kind of got screwed out of my money sometimes because the lady would tell me, you know, either I could give you $20 a day or you could get a model car and a paint, you know, pick one paint or a set of wheels and blah, 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 whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, my dumb ass, like, okay, I'll take the car. I'll take this, too, this and that. So to her, probably her cost altogether was probably like $7, you know?
Yeah, true. It wasn't really anything.
Yeah, that shop had everything. They had the cars, the trains, and then they had RC cars. The RC cars was like the newest thing they had in the shop. But the same thing, too, when the lady and the husband retired, they were kind of like, they're like, well, you know, our kids don't want to go after the business. They really have no interest in it. And nobody else wants it. She ended up selling everything in the store with the business name and everything for $30,000 at the time. And this is back in, I want to say 1989, I think.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, 99, 98, somewhere around there. But yeah, that place, like, I even, when I do model car shows nowadays, like, I run into people that used to go there. They're like, oh, I used to go there too? I was like, yeah, I used to be there. I used to do hell shit, man, blah, blah, blah. It's like all the truth comes out, which is, yeah. You know, it's shit you could do back in the day.
But, yeah, it's like, oh, that's where that went. No.
Yeah, and it did happen because I remember telling the story that I was, like, putting away some cars. And I had them organized by year, you know, 60, 61, 62, blah, blah, Ford, Chevy, and everything. And I had them all organized perfect. And then I didn't come into work the next day, but then the day after, I came in, and the guy, Don, the owner, he was like, hey, we're missing cars. I was like, what do you mean? I'm like, you saw when I organized them and I put them down on paper, how I organized them. He's like, yeah. He's like, you weren't here yesterday. So somebody came in here and got a little greedy. I was like, oh, shit. And then I met a guy at the Vintage Alley Show last year. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the name Family Hobby. He's like, oh, shit, on 143rd. I'm like, yeah. He's like, man, he's like, me and my brother used to go in there because we used to live down the street. We used to steal hell of shit all the time. I was like, really? I'm like, you guys were the ones fucking stealing all them balls. And he's like, yeah. Dang. That's so I was like, crazy. Yeah, fucking small world says reconnect later on, sooner or later.
Wow, that's crazy. There was,
I was like, I'm all for getting yelled at and shit, but I was like, because of these fucking guys, you know?
That's funny. Yeah. There was this, like, one of my friends who I met through, like, he was into, like, comic books, and he collected, like, action figures.
Yeah.
And that, I met him through that, like, through, like, at a convention, and we were like, oh, wow, we live, like, pretty close to each other. But then later, when I started getting more into the model cars, I kind of left behind, you know, like, I still like comic books and all that stuff, but I just wasn't, like, super into it anymore. So
yeah,
I would give him stuff like, hey, dude, you know what? I already read all these here. I'll give them to you. And I just kept giving stuff to him. So then one day he calls me out of the blue and he's all like, cause I didn't talk to him for a while. He's like, hey, dude, do you want some model cars? Cause I know you're doing model cars. And I was like, what? What's going on? And he's like, nah, well, the thing is that my dad, he's passing away. Like he's already sick. Like he's like, really bad and like he used to own some toy stores here in Ventura County, and a long time ago, well, they finally, you know, they went out of business, whatever, but he kept everything in storage, and and then he's like, so pretty much they did an estate sale and these people are going to come over and take everything, but they said that I have time to go over there to the storage and grab whatever I want before they haul it out. So he's all like, he just kept saying like, yeah, so yeah, my dad, he's going to die and this and that. And I was like, what? Like, and I felt bad, you know, and it was super awkward. I was like, dude, like, I'm good. Like I told him, no, I'm good, bro. Like, you know, you don't have to do that. And he's all, no, just tell me. And I was like, I kept thinking in my head, cause I never met his dad or anything, you know, and he never would, he never would bring him up, but I was always saying like, why is he saying it like that? You know? It just sounded so weird. And I was like, nah, dude, I don't want. And he's like, all right, well, you know what? I'll just grab whatever I see that I think you can make a lowrider out of. And I'll give it to you. And then I was like, nah, dude, it's all good. And then, but he kept emphasizing, I was like, all right, dude, whatever you want to do, you know, it's all good. And finally he like shows up to my pad. He's like, here, I got you all these. These are like, some model cars. So he ended up bringing me over, like, you know how a lot of the companies, they collaborate with like movies and stuff, kind of like the Ecto, like the Ghostbusters. And he had this one, Rocky, from the movie Rocky. I don't know, all these like different collabs. And I was like, he's out here, dude. And it was just funny because I had never seen some of those before. I guess, I don't know if they're vintage or what. But like some of them I've seen, like Dukes of Hazzard or whatever. But to him, he just was like anything that he said anything that was like nerd and geek. Yeah, he was like, I grabbed it and he's out here, make a lowrider out of it. I was like, all right, I'll see what I can do with the Challenger. You know, but I mean, it was cool that he hooked me up. But at the same time, I felt kind of bad. Like, damn, dude, you know. But later I told him like, hey, why were you telling me that? You know, about your dad. And he's just like, I don't know, I guess it just had like a really fallout, like a really bad fallout down the road. But I was like, dang, dude, I don't know, bro. I was like, whatever. But he did say though, he did say about like that people used to go into the hobby shop and like jack stuff and all kinds of like from there. So I was like, dude, and I was like thinking to my head right now, you're saying that, like, I wonder if that probably hurt the business too, you know, over time.
Yeah, because you think about it, you know, like if they do one or two a month, it's, you know, probably to them at cost at the time was probably like a $10 loss or whatever. But then, you know, two people do it, and another two people do it, and another two people, it just starts to add up for a while too.
Yeah. And what made you want to like start working there? Was that like where a lot of people, like, did you have other friends that worked there?
No, actually, because it was just mostly the husband and wife. So it was literally a mom and pop shop. And what sucks too, it's like I've been trying to look at Google and do research online. And for some reason, I can't find a picture of it. Like the hobby shop, and it was up and running. But I tried to get with a few historians from San Leandro, and I talked to them, and they're like, well, we might know some people that might have pictures. And now what I'm doing is just kind of waiting on their response to see what they say, if they have pictures or not or anything. But I literally used to go in there like almost every day on my bike. I used to ride my bike from my house to the hobby shop. It was probably like 20 minutes on the bicycle, 15, 20 minutes. Even if I didn't have money, I just kind of go out there and kind of like in my mind pick out the car. Mm-hmm. And then the lady and the husband got to know me after a while because my brother used to go there. He's the one that introduced me to the shop. And then they got to know me for a while. Then I started talking to them. Then I started bringing model cars after I built them every time. And then that's when the kind of lady kind of joked around. She was like, oh, maybe you should get a job here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'm only 12 years old. I don't know what to do. She's like, oh, we can already organize stuff, blah, blah, this and that. She's like, if you're really serious, you know, come in Saturday morning. It'll be your first day. And sure enough, my brother dropped me off in the morning, and that's when I started working for them.
Yeah, man, that's pretty cool, man. That sounds pretty like a kind of like a movie sort of, you know, like you're going in there just visiting, and then it becomes a reality, you know.
Yeah, because I mean, it was cool because now that I think about it, like when I go to like NNL and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Some of the kits they had in there, if I would have bought them then for like $6-7 a piece, these were all like Johanna kits and shit like that, where, you know, they're high demand, high dollar collectibles and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And he had a whole wall because it was like behind the counter. And I remember Don, he was showing me one day after work, they closed the door, we were hanging out. He was showing me different kits, the one he had built and everything. And he's like, what do you think of all these Cadillacs right here? You know, like, me as a kid, I wasn't really into Cadillacs at the time. I was either muscle cars, imports, or, you know, your Ferrari F40s and shit like that. And I was like, oh, I don't want no Cadillacs. And then he's like, oh, what do you think of, you know, these ones right here and this? And now that I think about it, I'm like, fuck, I just let go like probably $20,000 worth of model cars and shit. Just because I wanted muscle cars or Ferraris and shit at the time when I was a kid.
Yeah. That's funny. Man, he had the heat already right there.
Dude, he had it all because when I started working for them, they already had been in business for 40 years. Wow. So they started, I think, in probably mid to early 60s at the time, I think. But
wow.
I mean, the shit they had, like, they even showed me a picture of the grand opening back in the day. And, you know, she had the old school fucking... the beehive hairdo, then he had the big slick back hair and shit with the big sideburns and everything.
Yeah, wow. I bet you all those pictures are just like somewhere in a photo album, like in the with the family.
Yeah.
I wonder if they still live out there or like some family, you know?
As far as I know, I remember the daughter used to live down the street somewhere and then she ended up moving. And then as far as like the rest of the kids, I don't know, because I remember... Don and his wife, they ended up buying a farm out in Turlock. And then after that, I never kept in contact with them. Like, I had their phone number written down on a piece of paper, but then being a dumbass kid, I ended up losing them.
How long did you know
if they still have that property out there or not.
Mm-hmm. How long did you work there for at the hobby shop?
I worked there for about almost like a year and a half. Because it was during the summer and then after school some days. Like, not every day after school, which is probably like every other day. And then it wasn't until probably like right before my freshman year of high school, that's when they decided to retire. Because I remember the lady asking my mom, like, she was serious, but she was joking too. She was like, you know, how about you guys buy the property and the business? But my mom was like, fuck, I don't know anything about owning a business and running a business. She said, I don't want this shit. She was like, I want the house, but I don't want the business.
Right.
Yeah, because it was the hobby shop in the front and the house was attached to it.
In the back. Wow.
Yeah, so every time I drive by it, almost like every other day, it's like I'm looking at, I wish it was still there. You know, it's like on my way home, I could stop by and get stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But not anymore.
Dang. That's a trip. Well, hopefully in the future you get a lead, you know, from the historians of some you know, images of that. That'd be pretty dope. So like right now, like throughout the years that you've been doing modeling, like since you were young to now, like you've seen like the different changes in like the shows out there, like ups and downs, mm-hmm. kind of like, cause
the funny thing about that, mm-hmm. I really wasn't introduced into NML until maybe, I want to say four years ago. And this is when I first got on Instagram. And then one of the first big people that started following on Instagram was Pancho Barron. Mm-hmm. And we started kind of like talking back and forth. And he was like, hey, I kind of noticed in some of your pictures, you kind of seem local. And I was like, yeah, I was in Hayward at the time. Like, oh, I stay out in Hayward. He's like, oh, shit, you know, I live out here in the valley. He says, it's not too far of a drive. Then he mentioned the car club, you know, Table Scrapers. And when you said Table Scrapers, I was like, fuck, I've seen the name before. Because my ex-coworker, he used to be on, he was in the car club, in a real car club. And he was always on lay it low at work on the computer. He was always fucking around. And of course, I go on there. He's like, oh, just go through it. It's always, you know, cool pictures, joking around. And he told me, he's, oh, look, they even got model cars in here, too. And I see pictures, and I've seen pictures of some of Pancho's work, some of Evan's work, some of Johnny's work. But I seen them, but I didn't know who they were at the time. And then when Pancho introduced me to the guys in the club, that's when I was like, holy shit, there's these guys. Like, I remember seeing all their shit. And I remember seeing J-Reese stuff, too. I was like, holy shit. Like, I actually, then when I got to meet him in person, I was like, holy fuck. I mean, I went from seeing his pictures online, YouTube videos, to now actually shaking his hand.
Yeah, to meeting him. That's cool.
Yeah, and then that's when they had told me at first before, this is like a few months before NNL. Like, have you ever heard of NNL? I was like, what the fuck is that? And they're like, oh, we just ruined you. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, like, we're not even going to tell you. You just go. I was like, all right. And they gave me the date and everything and trying to look it up online. And, you know, NNL's website's kind of shitty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they never really updated or nothing like that. There's no pictures. I'm kind of like,
true.
All the shows, like, oh, okay. So I finally go out there, and as soon as it said put in there, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little cocky. I walk in, I'm kind of like, this is cool, you know, I got my nice cars in there. As soon as I walk in, I'm like, fuck, my cars are garbage. So I'm looking around, like, holy shit, like, I seen how big it was. I was stunned, and like, my girl was with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking through it, and like, I still have my cars in my hands, but I'm like in shock. I'm kind of like, oh, what the fuck do I do? And some guy came up to me, and he's like, hey, man, just set them down on the table right there. Just pick a spot and just lay them out. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was grabbing my cars, and my fucking hands are all shaking, and parts are falling off. I'm like, oh, fuck, what the fuck? And I'm looking at the cars next to me, the cars on the other side of the table. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, these cars are fucking like something else. And I turn around, and David Champion was on the table behind me. And that was the first time I met him in person. And this is before I even seen him on Instagram or Facebook or anything. And then, coolest person till day two. He was, hey, man, what's up? This is your first time? I was like, yeah. He's like, welcome. And he's like, probably will never be your last time either. And just have fun. That's all he told me.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
checked
cool.
out his cars. And yeah, and I was in shock too. I was like, holy shit. Like, the detail he puts into his cars.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, when you see David Champion's cars, like, you know David Champion's cars from a mile away. Like, he has his own style, and it's, like, fucking awesome, like, the way he does everything. And it's, the way he told me, too, he's like, you know, I buy to build, I don't buy to collect. He's like, if I buy something that's even rare, I'm going to build it and give it my own touch. And he has, too, so that kind of pushed me to kind of, like, step it up the next year, too, and then I met the rest of the guys at the car club from Table Scrapers there at the show. And, you know, it was a trip to finally put faces to the names of model car pictures whose people I never see on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right. So that was like my first big, big model car show. Before that, it was kind of like the Good Guys show. But honestly, to me, the quality of the Good Guys model car show, it's not that good. I personally rate it out of a 10. I give it probably a 4. It's literally the same cars, the same people, and they pretty much hog up all the tables. And then when you get there, you know, like one year, I brought out like 8 cars. And the guy's like, "Is this your first time?" I was like, yeah. I'm like, after playing phone tag for 20 minutes trying to find out how to register my show, my cars for the shows. Like, I decided just to bring them in. And the guy literally tells me, he's like, oh yeah, there's space in the corner way in the back over there against the wall. And I'm kind of looking at the space. I'm like, there's only space for two cars. And it's literally like, they have like a little curtain design or something. And it's like right on top of it. I'm like, oh. I was pissed. I was like, you know what? Yeah. You know, I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I was like, I paid $20 to get in, paid $10 for parking. I was like, just to kind of get thrown in the corner to say, you know, oh, thank you for bringing your shit, but there's a corner in the back. So I was like, you know, fuck this. But ever since then, I never went back to the good guys from Auto Car Show there. In Pleasanton, at least, that one.
Yeah.
And then I started hearing about other little car shows doing mini car shows, too. And I was like, what do you mean by mini car shows? They're like, oh, model cars. I was like, oh, shit, I happen to have model cars. And I started to get involved with some of them. There's actually one coming up in August. It's called the Larry Old Car Show. And it's a fundraiser for a retirement center for old folks. And they do have a car show outside. And then they want to feature model cars now. And I've been trying to help them the past couple of years, bringing in some cars. And the first year they did it, there was a little bit of miscommunication with the advertising. And I brought in about four or five model cars, and this other guy brought in about 30 or 40 die-cast cars, the big 118 scale cars.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So I'm kind of sitting there like, okay, this is awkward. I'm like, well, so these are your cars? And the guy's like, yeah. He was like real proud of them, which I'm not going to kick him down on it, but I'm kind of like, this is kind of unfair. You know, like I brought in some real model cars, and this guy has a literally the whole everything filled up with his diecast cars.
That's so a lot, like, okay. Dude. 30 and they're all diecast?
Yeah.
That's a grip. Yeah.
All of them. Yeah. Damn. And it's like 10 different Mopars, which is of the same one, but every color option. And then eight different Corvettes of every color option and blah, blah, blah. But it was cool. So I decided to pack it up early because I had something else to do that day and I left. And I did get a phone call from the guy, Larry O, and he was like, hey, man, he's like, we heard you left early. And I was like, oh, no, I had something else in the previous plans. I just kind of did this last minute. And he did ask me to come back and kind of help him out, kind of put the word out. And I should be getting an email with their flyer pretty soon. I'm going to start promoting that just to kind of help him out.
Yeah, just like push that. Yeah. That's cool. What is it that makes you like want to get involved with like these shows? Like these smaller shows.
What's cool about them, it's more like, I mean, I do like the big name shows and everything, but the thing I've noticed about the big name shows is kind of like, you do see the same, even with real cars, you see the same cars in the same spot every year and a few little changes to them. And what I like about the smaller car shows, like the high school fundraiser shows, your, you know, your downtown local summer parties or whatever, you see your everyday guy, you know, that's works probably 12, 14 hours construction or works 12 hours at a warehouse or even at Lucky's or, you know, your grocery store. They get home, they bust their ass on the car. They're sitting there standing on the car working on it. And it's just them putting their passion into their car. And then when they finally bring it out to their local car show, you know, you see them there, they're proud of it. And I could see them sometimes sitting behind the car and they kind of, they're looking out of the corner of their eye just to see people's reaction of what they think of their car. And that's kind of more of a motivation for me. And, you know, I can relate to that guy. Like, I can't relate to the guy that has $100,000 to put into his real car, or the guy that builds model cars that puts maybe literally $1,000 into his model car. You know, I like that we could relate that we both like cars, but I can't relate to him with literally dumping, you know, a whole check into it or something like that. So these smaller shows, it's kind of like, you know, you reach out to the next person that you never knew was your neighbor that builds model cars too.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like a little bit of a push and a motivator to kind of like help each other out instead of like, oh, it's this guy's fucking car, you know, fuck that car, blah, blah, blah. Instead of doing that, there's at the smaller shows, people actually, oh, you did this. Oh yeah, I did this way. And look under here and they're both underneath their car. And with the model car shows, the same thing. We're grabbing the cars, taking them apart, showing each other, you know, I cut this and I redid this way. Yeah, compared to the ones at the good guy show where they have them on the table feet away and then you can't even look at the details or anything because they're so packed and so close together.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, like what you're saying. Like, I see how you're saying about the smaller shows. They're more intimate. Like, they're more,
yeah.
The setting is just there. Like, everyone's paying attention. And right now that you're saying that about how you guys take it, like, you know, you pick them up and you're showing everything. Like right now, what was like just rambling in my head real quick was thinking like, what if you did a show, you know, like continue, like, cause I know you're doing your shows and we're going to get into that right now, but
yeah,
what if you one day do a night where you do like a, kind of like a show and tell where,
yeah,
like, let's just say like, you're going to have 10 friends or people that are going to come out. And then out of those 10, maybe, you know, you ask them, like, out of all them that registered or they're coming out, which one of them would be down to do like a show and tell, meaning that, you know, like, they're going to actually take it apart, kind of like knowing, because I know, like, me myself, I know some cars, I don't even glue the chassis or everything all together. I just kind of set them in there and then I could still take them apart in case I need to switch something out. But that would be kind of cool because, you know, some questions might be brought up or people that are curious of how that was done. You kind of break it down, just get more in depth, like with it would be pretty interesting.
Yeah. So you kind of beat me to it because I've been talking to a few people that I've met through work for motorcycle stuff. And they know a few places, like a few little buildings that they have and they never use. And I've been talking to them. I was like, hey, would it be possible to use it maybe once a month for model car stuff? And at first they're kind of like, what do you mean model cars? And I was like, oh, I'm glad you asked. Let me show you 400 pictures that I have on my phone.
Let me show you.
Yeah. And then some of them are like, yeah, we could do something like that. And then, you know, of course, they're always like, oh, a small donation would be appreciated. It's like, yeah, we could work on that too. We could work something out. And I've been talking to a few people that have some properties that are willing to let me do that. It's just planning and scheduling. So that probably won't happen until maybe next year. Hopefully sooner, but maybe next year. And I've invited them out to some of the model car and pizza night things too.
Yeah.
Dude. And they got a kick out of it. They're like, holy shit, like, you guys are like that really into the cars where you guys are cutting them up and doing this. Like, oh yeah. Like, it's just like a real car, but more affordable and smaller.
Yeah. Right. You could have a classic car in your closet or on your display case, you know, and appreciate
everywhere.
It. Yeah, pretty much.
I actually got two in my toolbox at work too that nobody knows about.
on your brakes. Real quick. That's tight.
Yeah, even at work when I'm not supposed to be doing it, like, I got some time to start sanding some shit. Prime or something.
That's tight. Dude, I thought it was pretty cool, that idea that you came up with, like, model cars and pizza night. You know? When I saw that you were starting, like, the first one, when you were starting to promote that, I was like, man, that's a really clever idea, because who doesn't love pizza, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that even if you're not hungry, but you see a slice of pizza, like, I might as well. And then if there's model cars there and other people to talk about model cars, is like the bonus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember when like I had seen some footage that Luis had posted.
Yeah.
And it's like all you guys are hanging out, like everybody, you know, with the cars and all that. And just seeing the footage, like, I was happy that he got to record some video footage, because it kind of, it almost like it told a little story of like how the whole, just that night, you know, like how everyone's like chilling out and stuff. And I mean, I wasn't there, but it does, it kind of gives you the vibe, like if you were there, from just seeing like the video and then seeing your guys', like the pictures that you were posting. I was like, damn, that's so cool, like what you're doing right there.
Yeah, because it's like, I wasn't expecting it to be that great of a turnout, but even though it was like really, really small, but everybody that was there was, you know, on the same level. Like, they brought out a project. Some people brought out complete cars, and like a few other people brought out some cars that nobody's ever seen. And everybody was like willing to share information. We had this one guy, I've actually met him before through other friends before even NNL, and he's called PA, and he sells at NNL. He's got a bunch of cars he's been collecting for years. And I had met him about maybe 20 years ago, and then he came out to the first pizza night, and then we started talking, and the amount of work and detail that he puts into his cars, like, he'll buy two of the same car. One of them, he'll build it according to the instructions in the box, you know, and everything, just like it. And then the other one, he'll add his detailed touches, and fuck, man. Like, the amount of detail he puts into it, it's like surgical precision, you know, fuel lines, brake lines, vent lines, and everything. For the fuel tank, sometimes he'll cut them out and put in, like, you know, filler necks with little gaskets and everything. I'm like, holy shit. But the thing about it, he wasn't just showing you. He was actually showing you and telling you and writing down everything. Like, you know, this is what I use. This is where I bought it. I have some too. I can sell it to you and blah, blah, blah. Everybody was like, hella cool. Everybody was like, chill. And next thing you know, like, 3 hours goes by and I was like, oh shit, it's time to go home. But we all still want to kick it and still like do model car stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. It was a good time. It was like, I was actually really surprised and really happy too that it turned out pretty well.
Yeah, the way it came out. That's cool, dude. And like right now, you just recently posted the flyer for the number 3. This is the third one that you're doing.
Yeah.
And this will be Saturday, July 13th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And the location is Mountain Mike's Pizza.
Yeah.
And this is, I'm going to say the address and I'll also plug it like later, but it's in the city of Fremont, but the address is 391415 Fremont Boulevard, the city of Fremont. Dude, that's pretty cool. Like, let's say for someone that's listening to this show that is considering like throwing their own show, you know, whether it's at a small little venue or maybe thinking about going big, like a venue, what would you recommend or like some tips as to how to approach, a venue or even just someone who's actually doing like a car show, real cars, but you want to incorporate model cars, like to bring that in to their attention?
If anything, my advice to bring in the model cars to the real car is, like, you know, reach out to your local hobby shop and try to get to know who's like the most common builder that goes in there. Like, if you want strictly custom model cars or, you know, just like military type stuff, they'll have a little bit of everything at that hobby shop. So, you know, kind of go in there and try to get a hold of the one person that's well known in there, and then even just drop off a bunch of flyers. Like, the first model car and pizza night that I did, I went to, I think, every hobby shop. Well, literally, it's only 3 in this area. And I just handed out flyers, and then I would carry flyers in my backpack. So every time I went to Hobby Lobby or Michael's and I seen guys looking at model cars, I bust out a flyer. I was like, hey, I don't mean to bother you, but, you know, I'm doing a model car and pizza night. If you guys want to stop by, it's free. You bring in your own cars. I provide the first pizza. If you don't like that pizza, you can order your own pizza too. So, you know, it's like, you just got to make it extra friendly. Like, you can't just be like, oh, you show up if you want to type thing. But it's like, you know, give them that invited feeling, you know, just come out, have a good time, meet other local builders. Like, if you have questions, even if this is your first model car you're buying today and you want to get to know other people how to do stuff, like, these guys will be there to ask you your questions. I can answer some of the questions as much as I can. And if not, you know, I'm pretty sure everybody else is going to have different type of info. And that's what's been happening with the last, you know, couple model car and pizza nights. People have been bringing out flyers for other shows. People have been sharing, you know, like, information and like, oh, there's a show here, there's a show there, go to this page, go to this web page, this is where I bought all this stuff for mine and everything else. And yeah, I mean, just try to find out where the hobby shop is, where the guys hang out. Even if you have your own car and like you do your own first real car show and you don't have model cars yet, you know, hang up a little flyer saying, you know, next year we'll have model cars, get info here or something like that. Just kind of get the word out. Yeah. You know, like, even the old school way works, flyers work, and people usually don't think they do. Like, oh, just leave it online. Like, yeah. People see the pictures, but they don't read.
It's true.
So if you hand them a flyer, they'll actually look at it once in a while. But
yeah, I've had that happen. Not through this account, but like another account in the past, where I would post something, and then you say a bunch of stuff in the captions, and then it's just like people just didn't even read what you just wrote. You know, as far as like instruction or whatever. And it's just like the same. Like, if you like, let's say you post a car or your model kits, and you put not for sale, you're still going to get hammered with people asking you, how much?
Every time, yeah. Never.
I don't know why, but it happens. It really happens. Yeah. One thing that I thought was pretty cool, looking through your pictures, is that you made a billet pizza award.
Yeah. So that kind of came out of the last minute for the first one. Actually, I had an award for the second one, but I was working at Saturday at work, and I forgot the award at my job, and I forgot to hand it out that day. So pizza night number three, I'm actually going to hand out two awards. It's for the one that was owed for number two and number three. Mm-hmm. So I do metal fabrication for a living. You know, I work at RLNS Motorcycles, and I do most of the sheet metal, exhaust pipes, pretty much anything metal related, I do it there. And during lunch sometimes, I was like, oh, you know what? It'd be kind of cool to make a slice of pizza out of metal, so I might as well. And I made it, so I was like, last minute. You can see how rough the lettering is, because, you know, I'm not that good at lettering. So, but I figured, you know, it'd be something cool to bring your car out, and you least expect it, oh, you get an award to take home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nah, that's pretty. It looks cool, man. I saw that and I was like, damn, that's pretty rad. And I had also seen another award that you had sent me a picture of. And this was, you did like a collaboration with the Leisure Lines.
Oh, yeah.
An award for like NorCal Classic. And I remember you had showed me like a picture of what you had shaped. And then I saw the plaque with it. And I was like, oh, dude, that looks dope. How it's all done, all put together. Damn, that's pretty bad. So, how long have you worked there at RLNS Motorcycles?
I've been there for about, June 13th of last week was my 16-year anniversary. So, been there 16 years. So, I started a week after high school. My old shop teacher, Mr. McKinney, I had talked to him when I first went into his class for auto collision repair. Originally, I wanted to be an auto painter, but then I was in auto painting class and they ran out of space and they threw me into auto collision repair. So it was kind of a mixed blessing in a way, because I met McKinney and he's been a mentor since day one. And we started talking and I noticed he had an English wheel at the very back of the shop covered up with a bunch of shit. So I had asked him, I was like, so what's up with that English wheel at the back of the shop? And he was like, how do you know what the name of the fucking tool is? I was like, well, my old neighbor on 61st, you know, it's like he used to build street rods back in the 60s and 70s. And every now and then he worked on them in his driveway and he had an English wheel. And he's like, do you know how they work? And I was like, oh, kind of. And I kind of showed him how to do it on a piece of sheet metal. And he was just kind of testing me. And then ever since then, he was like, okay, he's like, I'm going to teach you some auto collision repair. He's like, but I'm going to have you work on the custom stuff at work at the shop. And this is during class, so I was working on his 34 Ford, then I had worked on his 33 Chevy, I did a bunch of cross members for the Jaguar brands in this class. His 34 Ford, this is my junior year in high school, I made the radiator shroud for the car, and I made it from scratch too, and then I made him a custom air cleaner. He used it a couple times, and he went with something else. So anything that was custom was coming into the class, and I was the only one working on that stuff. And he taught me how to do metal finishing at the age of, 16, 17?
Nice.
So I kind of stuck with it ever since. And then I still get in contact with him. You know, I still go out to lunch with McKinney once a week. And we kind of joke around. I give him shit about his car and everything. But And he still has that car, his 34 Ford. And I even built a model car of his car. And he was juiced. He was like, oh, I've never had somebody ever do this for me, this and this. So I was like, well, you're going to get old at one point. You're not going to be able to drive it, so you can enjoy it this way.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice, dude.
Yeah. So thanks to him, I was able to get to RLNS Motorcycles. He spoke to Arlen since they know each other since back in the 70s. And he kept telling him, you know, I got a kid that knows how to do metalwork, blah, blah, blah. And then he told him, Arlen told McKinney, so we'll come in one day and then we'll see what we can do. So I've been there ever since.
So. Wow. Dang. So working all these years, you must have learned like so much working for Arlen.
Yeah, I learned a lot through Arlen, and he taught me how to do a lot of things the old school way. So, you know, there is a lot of great fabricators nowadays. They do have like awesome machinery, that power hammers, plan machine hammers, and I mean, all these fucking amazing machinery that does all the work for them, but it does help, you know, it does help your hands over time. But I went through Arlen and Mr. McKinney to do everything the original way, you know, hand form, hammering sheet metal by hand and shaping it by hand, shrinking metal and stretching metal by hand. And, I mean, a little bit of everything to the point where, like, I could get a piece of 16 gauge steel, which is pretty thick, and then I could shape it almost in any shape and leave it to a mirror finish at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Dang, dude.
And this is kind of one of the blessings I got through both McKinney and Arlen from over the years, you know?
Yeah.
And then my car is still in the garage in pieces, you know, my 67 Cougar. One day I'll get to it. But it's just, yeah. One day.
Yeah. And from doing like that work, you know, professionally, and like when you do, you know, you're working on your model cars, you must appreciate them a lot, right? We're just work because it's just plastic.
Yeah, honestly, I'm not gonna lie. Metal fabrication and metal working with me, it's easier. And then when I do shit with like model cars, it's kind of like, fuck, what do I do? Like, I
could try. is it the sanding or what is it?
A little bit of everything. Like, I should be able to do all the fabrication on these plastic cars, but then I get stuck sometimes. I'm like, man, how do you do this shit? This and this. And I was talking to Luis at the NorCal Classic.
Uh-huh.
I was like, dude, how do you do the suspension like that? He's like, it's just like a real car. He's all, you worked on more real cars than I have. I'm like, yeah, but I'm like, fuck, dude, I'm like, you make it look so much easier on a model car than the real car, you know? Like, real cars, they have no problem, you know, cutting them up, welding this, extending this, whatever, you know, wrapping the frames. I could do that. But then when it comes to model cars, like, it's like, damn, do I really want to go through all that trouble? It's like, nobody else is going to see it. I'll just leave it alone. I just cut the wheel on there with some hot glue.
That's funny. I had seen some of the coverage from that NorCal Classic, the Gooseneck. Is that his show, right? That Gooseneck
does? Yeah, between Gooseneck and Jesse Villalobos, they both get together, and this is the second one they've done. And it's a really small show, but the quality bicycles and model cars that are there,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's outstanding. Like, me and Shane from Leisure Line Customs, to pick a bicycle that day is like, bullshit you not. I think my hair got thinner that day because it was like trying to pick one. I was like, oh, dude, it's like, there's so much talent out there. And it's like, in one little place, it's just concentrated pretty good.
Yeah. Dang.
I mean, it's tough. Like, I'm glad I wasn't judging the model cars that day. So.
Yeah, it gets hard when it comes down to that. I really like your Mustang, that 5.0.
Oh, thanks, man.
That red one. It reminds back then my dad had a 5.0. Pretty similar like to that one. Like, and I remember I was still like, I must have been like in junior high when he had it. So I don't know if this was, it might have been like 96, 97. And I remember him telling me, he would tell me, oh yeah, when you get your license, I'm going to give you this car. And I was like, yeah, I was all happy. Like, hell yeah, you know, riding shotgun, like seeing him shift it, go faster, you know, 5.0 and all this stuff. And then one day, we used to live in this neighborhood. Then we had already moved out, but my sister still went to school, to elementary school in that neighborhood. So my dad's like, oh, I'm going to go take her. He drops her off. And for some weird reason, my dad just decides to cruise through the old neighborhood, the street where we lived on the way out, and he's driving, and they had done some construction there like maybe a week ago, basically on the sidewalk next to the sidewalk. Yeah. There's all these trees, and they had gone in there and they cut out all the roots because they didn't want the sidewalks to lift and all that stuff. So now the trees didn't have, like, you know, the roots weren't extended anymore for them to have like a good grip of the ground, and it rained, so everything was all loose. And as my dad's driving, that one of those trees like lands on the front, and it landed like on the engine and the front windshield, just like, damn, just smashed it, boom. And like, luckily nothing happened to him, like he didn't get cut or nothing, but like everything was just smashed like in. And and then finally, you know, I was like, oh man, I was bummed out. Like, man, that car is all jacked up because they got towed and everything, and we got to go see it. And I thought, oh, well, you know, when you're a kid, you feel like your parents have like all kinds of money just because you see them have like a checkbook.
Yeah.
You feel like they could just sign their name and whatever amount of number, and here you go, fix it. So I thought, oh, this thing's gonna get fixed, you know? And I'm gonna get my car later when I get older. Nah, it was like, you know, like total. My dad didn't want nothing to do with it. He's just like, my dad was like, nah, I'm not gonna like spend time fixing this or whatever, you know? So it was like the city of Oxnard had to cut my dad like a check for like the damages to the car, and then my dad just bought like a new car, you know. And I was like, oh man, I didn't even like that new car when they got it, and then later I ended up with it, you know. I took it over, but and then that became like a mission car, you know. Like next thing you know, it's like missing hubcaps and all this stuff. You're just cruising around town with all your friends. But yeah, dude, I wanted that 5.0, man. It's gone.
Trust me, I'm on the same boat. My dad had a 240Z for the longest, and I still remember that car. It was still black lacquer paint. It had a little BRE spoiler. It was lowered. It had Panasport wheels. I think they were 15x6s or 15x8s. And it had the 5-speed in it. But I remember the valve cover saying Rebello Racing. And me and my brother, we used to be deep into 510s. Like, he wasn't part of a Datsun 510 club back in the day called the 510 style, since we're in the Bay Area. And to me, the Datsun 510 was like the gateway car. That car started it all for me. It was a Datsun 510. Then I got my first car, my 63 Bug. And then from there, I went back to a 510. And then from there, spread out to muscle cars. And from there on, it's like where I am now. But, you know, my dad had a 240Z, and he was always telling me, like, oh, it's going to be yours. It's going to be yours. And, you know, I see him a few months later. I was like, hey, so where's the car? He's like, oh, I sold it for $100. Like, God damn. Oh. He's like, oh, something happened to the car. How do you want to fix it? So some guy gave me $100 for it. I was like, fuck. Now that I think about the 240Z with all this, like, high performance stuff from a shop called Rebello Racing, and it's like that car used to haul ass too. Like third gear, you punch it, and it'll still get sideways on you, and got rid of. But he didn't care at the time too. My dad was like, oh, "The car is a commuter car." Like, he liked cars, but as long as they work. Otherwise, he didn't really care much for them.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Now you have a lot of nice builds, dude, that I like, especially the Hudson Hornet, one of them. The 49 Merc, the Woody.
Yeah.
And then the your glass house, that Caprice, is awesome too. The black one.
Yeah, I almost sold that at last year's Vintage Alley, but the guy didn't want to throw me a decent price, so it's like, all right, I still have it. So it was kind of a lifesaver that I didn't sell it. So.
Yeah.
I wanted to sell it for good money, but then I didn't really want to sell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't think you would regret it, though, like once it would be, like, gone?
Oh, yeah, instantly. Like, even when as soon as I told him, like, yeah, I'm down to sell it, like, fuck, I regret it already.
Mm-hmm. Dang.
But I gave him a chance to kind of give me a price, and he kind of didn't meet the price. I was like, all right, we're good. I was like, oh, no, never mind. I'll just keep it. Like, all right, good.
Yeah, the other day I was driving on the freeway, and I saw a 49 Merc Woody. And yeah. I just kept following that thing because I've never seen one like on the road, and this thing was hauling ass, and I was trying to catch up to it, and then I got to a point where I was like, oh no, I need it. My exit's coming up, you know, so I had to get off. But because I've seen them at shows, but just chilling, but I've never seen them like actually on the road. And I like the color that you use for yours. That's a really nice color. Is that because it reminds me of like that Tiffany kind of greenish color, then like a pastel color?
Yeah, actually, the color is from Model Masters, I think. Either Model Masters or Testers. It's mm-hmm. a rattle can, and it's called 50s Aqua.
Okay.
And I had bought that rattle can like literally 15, 16 years ago, and I didn't know it was still good. I was sitting there just shaking it for like almost an hour straight. And I sprayed it. I was like, oh, shit, it still works. So I fucking sprayed the wagon with it. Mm-hmm. But I actually got my inspiration for that wagon because me and my nephew were talking one day. I used to buy him the Chevron toy cars.
Dude, I remember those. The one with the eyes? Is it those
yeah,
ones?
Yeah, so you roll them and the little eyes move up and down and shit.
Yup.
Mm-hmm. So if you Google, you know, Chevron toy Woody wagon, you'll see my wagon. That's where I got the color scheme from.
See. Oh, I see it. I just looked it up right now.
Yeah, because... Yeah, that's where I got my color scheme from, because I had that wagon with the little surfboards on top, and I didn't want to give it to my nephew, but I let him borrow when he was like probably 2-3 years old.
Yeah,
and he ended up destroying it. Like somehow, like I just remember hearing like smack against the wall, and then there's an eyeball, there's a wheel. I'm like, oh shit! Like he shattered it, and then ever since then I could never find one again. And then
yeah,
I saw the model kit. I was like, oh shit! I want some Merc wagon. I'm like, it kind of looks like the little Chevron toy ones.
Yep.
So I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to put it together and actually make it more detailed this time. So,
yeah, that's so cool.
That's where I got my inspiration for that one.
Yeah, I see it here. Man, I'm going to have to share this picture. This one and the one you did together, dude. This looks pretty cool. Right now, I'm looking at one. Someone's explaining it with the door open and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Dude, these ones, because, yeah, it's like showed in package now, like how they're selling them, but... I do remember when like Chevron started to have like the commercials with these little cars and like just animated or whatever. And then, yeah, they started selling them like toys at the, I don't know if it was at the Chevrons or where, but I remember wanting some of these back then too, but I never got one or whatever. But dude, I completely forgot about them until right now you brought it up. That's so tight. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you know how you said, like, he broke it and all this stuff. Like, when you're a kid, you know, like, you have all these toys, like Hot Wheels and anything that's even bigger size. I still remember going to, like, friends' houses, and some of them lived in apartments. And on the, or like, they had, like, two floors or whatever. But yeah, it was, like, wooden stairs, you know? And I remember we used to go to the top, and we would be, like, on our knees, like, you know, with one hand on the toy going back and forth. All right, you ready? And then, boom, you just launch that thing and just, it just comes down and bah, you know, or we would have like the G.I. Joe's figures with the vehicles. And then we would just launch them just to see them like collapse and break or whatever, you know? And then later as years went on, the next toy that became like a big thing, but I never got them. I wanted them so bad, but my parents, they weren't going to spend the money for that. Remember when they came out with crash dummies?
Yeah.
It was like the car and the figures and stuff. And then I guess they were just meant for that. Like they were going to fall apart or whatever. like the car, because remember how there was like a time where they kept promoting about safety, about, I don't know if it was drunk driving or wearing a seatbelt. But there was like all these commercials with the crash dummies, these dolls that would get hurt.
Yeah.
They would be talking or whatever, and then they would get hurt. And it was so weird. But later they came out with like some toys with that.
Yeah, the last toy show that I went to in San Jose, it's the San Jose Super Toy Show. That one's pretty good because they have a mixture of everything. They have everything from like sports memorabilia to like model cars, Hot Wheels. And since you're mentioning those, I remember seeing a few of those for sale there too. I mean, some of them were like cheap and other ones were like really expensive. But even like the G.I. Joes, those things are going for crazy money nowadays too. It's like $5 a figure, $10 a figure. I'm kind of like, damn, I had like boxes and boxes full of them. Like I even had the ship and the airplanes. And
damn, you had the flag, the USS flag, the big ship?
Yeah, I had that one because I used to get them at the flea market for like dirt cheap. I mean, they were missing pieces and stuff like that, but it was the whole thing. Mm. And then sure enough, you know, all that stuff went to Salvation Army. And I was like, yeah, I got to get rid of that too. It's like, you know, all the stuff that was worth money. I told them, there goes my college fund. That's why I didn't go to college, dude. Yeah. You threw it away.
Dang. What year were you born, Alex?
1985.
Oh, dude, I'm like a couple years, I'm 83, so a couple years older.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's cool. Dang, so you got, so yeah, you know, about 80s, 90s and all that. That's dope, dude.
Yeah, because like even, you know, the Ninja Turtles van, they shot like the little pizzas and everything.
Yep, I feel like
every time I go to the toy show and I see them there, I'm kind of like, fuck, it just brings back memories. Like, I don't need that, but I want it, mm-hmm. but I don't have the money for it.
Yeah, imagine if... if like one of your little nieces or someone or a little kid grabbed one of your model cars thinking it was one of those toys and they just launched it off some stairs?
Oh, it's happened, and I just got to bite my tongue sometimes and shit. Like,
yeah,
the Vintage Ellie show about 3 years ago, it happened. I wasn't there. I was like looking after the cars and everything. I was helping out Beto at the time, and then he told me, he's like, if you're hungry, you know, go get something to eat. I was like, all right, I'll be back. And I left. And when I came back, everybody's looking at me with this look. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Well, do I got food on my shirt or my face? What the fuck? And Beto comes up to me, he's like, man, you won't believe it. I was like, what happened? He's like, some lady wasn't paying attention to her kid. And, you know, little kid runs up to the table. He's like, he's looking right at your little Datsun 510, the orange one. I was like, oh, no. He fucking grabs it. He picks it up. I'm like, uh-oh. Like, I didn't even look at the car. He's like, but before he even did anything with it, they were like, no. Like, everybody in the room, stop. And the kid got scared and he froze and they took the model car out of his hand, put it back down the table. And they told the lady, like, you know, it's just watch your kid. These aren't toys. They're signs everywhere. Do not touch. And she was kind of mad because, you know, everybody was like, oh, I'm telling her kid to stop. And then, but she didn't get the hand. She's like, oh, sorry about that. And after that, she kind of, she walked out afterwards, but I was kind of like, oh, shit. And they're like, no, go take a look at your car and make sure it's fine. I was like, looking at it, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, dang, dude.
So ever since then, I was like, all right, so what I'm going to start doing now, and I've been doing since, mm-hmm. even when I go to a car show, any car show, little local car shows, I bring a backpack or a big-ass bag full of Hot Wheels. And whenever I see kids, I just throw the bag on the ground. I'm like, here, grab one or two. It keeps them busy, you know, and it keeps them motivated and actually keeps them more interested into the car culture, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it brightens up their days too, because sometimes there's kids that are hella bored. They're at the show. It's like, you know, their dads are into it, but the kids are kind of like, fuck, I want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got a stranger come out to you, like, here, grab a car or two. And then now they got something to do. They're playing on the ground with a little Hot Wheels car.
Yeah, Dan, that's nice of you, man, to do that. Something I never thought about that. Like, I do see the kids. Sometimes the kids are really small, and I, you know, you could tell they're a little like frustrated, fussy. Like they kind of want to like leave or, you know, go.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a nice way for them to, you know, to get, like you said, motivated and get into cars too.
Yeah, because you know you figure like instead of having them, they're hella bored and frustrated or mess up somebody's model car, is like, you know, here's the Hot Wheels car. This is something you can throw against the wall, scratch on the ground, you know, step on, whatever you want.
Yeah, because it's so crazy how like you take a kid to a show and they're like 5, 6 years old, 7, and that's still the age where kids are into toys, you know, and they see these cars. And like all these colors are just jumping at them and they see all these different types of cars, you know, and even sometimes us as adults, sometimes we see something we've never seen. And sometimes we get curious. We want to touch it with our finger.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I could see how like a kid, like he knows, like he wants to, but it's almost like, no, I shouldn't, you know, but they still want you. It's like when someone tells you, don't do that. The first thing you're going to do is probably go do it, you know? Just out of curiosity. But yeah, it must be hard, you know, for kids to resist sometimes. But hey, if they're good and they don't mess around, it would be cool to get rewarded. You know, you get a Hot Wheel or something.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's always pretty cool. I've only one time I was at a model show. It was, they were having like a car show and there was like a section where they had some model car, cars displayed and the model car builders were there and not a lot though. It was just like a small little kind of like a thing. And I remember seeing a mom with her kid and she was looking at a car, like a 1-to-1 scale car in the next room. So the kid kind of just like wandered off and he grabs one of the cars and he runs off with it. Like a football, you know,
shit.
Like he just grabbed it. Dude, he took it in, dude. Like if it was a football, bro. And that fool just kept running, dude. He kept running, you know, like he was headed to the goal line and he was headed towards his mom and everybody freaked out, you know, especially the guy who built it. And yeah, you know, I like kids do get freaked out when someone else is going, hey, you know, It's like, yeah, it's like the alarm goes off, you know? And finally, like the dude was just like with his hands, like kind of like, oh, like trying to find a way to tell him to give it back, but carefully. And then the mom was like, what's going on? And he's like, oh, he has my car. And then the mom just told him, oh, hand it over to him, you know, hand it back. And, but it's crazy because, you know, kids, they just handle it however, like probably squeezing the car and everything. And then he gives it back to the guy. And I felt so bad. You know, the guy had like, he was holding it from the roof. And then the other hand was like hovering. He didn't even want to touch the bottom, you know. It was just like hovering or whatever. And he was carrying it so slow back. Like if it was like if it was a bomb that was, he was going to try to detonate, you know. He was like walking with it so carefully. And then, and I felt so bad for him. I was like, oh my God, like I would freak out too, you know. Yeah, it's it's crazy. But hey, you're onto something right there. You got some good ideas, dude.
Thanks, man. It's just one of those things where I practice with my nephews and nieces first. Like, all right, if you're going to come over and destroy my model cars, here's a Hot Wheels to keep you busy. And if it works, like, okay, it works with the other kids too.
Yeah, I had read somewhere, and I don't even know if this was even legit or not, but it was saying something about like babies when they're like 1 or 2 years old. Do you ever notice how sometimes like you might put something in front of them, like a something colorful or something random, and all of a sudden they get kind of shook and then their eyes open wide and they want to grab it? It's almost like when they see a phone or whatever. And they, in that article, said that they had done some studies of when they're at that age, that when they see all this stuff, it's almost like they're on LSD, like hallucinating, kind of like on colors. Like the colors are really bright and everything's so crazy. That's why it's just a little moment though, you know, and sometimes they get scared too. Like they see something and it kind of freaks them out, you know? But something to do with like with the colors, sometimes they see it and they laugh or whatever. But when they're like at a really, really young age for a moment, and then it goes away. But I thought that was a
trick. Totally see that with the model cars too. You know, they're not all just one or two colors. Some of them got like 20 different colors on them and shit. I can see this as like, you know, activating all the triggers in the kid's head. It's like, oh, I need to touch this and throw it against the wall because it's so cool.
Yeah, that's true. It's a trip. And so the NNL show, that's obviously one of the ones that, you know, it's like a must, right? Like if you're living up, especially up north, like living out there in the Bay Area, and it's like it's in your backyard pretty much.
Yeah, I consider it the SEMA of model car shows here in like in California.
Yeah. Like since you started going to your first one, have you ever missed one, or have you just responsibly always been to it?
Not yet. Like even, I know my girlfriend's probably gonna hear me, but what's it called? NNL 1 year was on her birthday, and I think it was the first time I met Armando there. And I remember him saying, he was like, oh, after the NNL, we're all going to get together and we're going to go have dinner. He's, you want to go? And I was like, I kind of look over at my girlfriend, like, damn it. It's like, I want to go, but I already have plans. Me and my girlfriend were already planning to leave right after NNL to Monterey for her birthday. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of looking at her and I'm looking at him, and she's like, oh, like, damn it, like, no, I can't go to dinner with you guys. I have to go to the third birthday.
Yeah.
So, like, me and her came to an agreement that, you know, it's like, NNL is a must for me. It's like my nerd moment of the year. So, if I got to go, I have to be there. And she's like, okay, we came to that agreement. But, it's, you know, it's difficult. Like, even this year, it was the same day as my niece's birthday. Mm-hmm. And then, I went to NNL and everything, but I'm texting my niece. I was like, hey, you guys cut the cake yet? She's like, no. I was like, all right, don't worry. I'll be there. I'll be there on time. Don't worry. So let me do my thing too. And my family and my friends pretty much came to that point where like, they understand that model cars is kind of like my little getaway type thing where, you know, I zone out and do my own thing. So they've been really appreciative, and they actually support what I do sometimes now. And even with the model car shows, they come out and support it, even though they kind of have no interest in it, but they come out and support it too. And that actually pushes me further too, to kind of like do bigger shows and hopefully have my own show, maybe as big as In and Out, hopefully bigger. Not trying to talk shit about them, but yeah. Would be nice to have two shows like that a year instead of just one, you know?
Mm-hmm. So that's true.
It'll be fun, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Last year was this year in January was the second time. Last year was the first time that I had gone, and I didn't even know about it or anything, you know, and because I mean, even now, I've gone to, you know, some shows the last couple of years, but I still feel like I'm fairly new to a lot of stuff still, you know, but I thought it was pretty cool. And that first one that I went to, that was the first time I got to meet you there in person.
Yeah.
And then when I went back and I saw you the second time, I saw you were like mad. You were taking a lot of pictures, like footage and stuff. I thought that was pretty cool that you were doing that.
Yeah, that's the other hobby. One of like 20,000 hobbies. Because back in middle school and high school, I was doing a lot of film photography. Like I was developing my own film, developing my own pictures and everything. And then it kind of faded away, and I bought my first motorcycle, and then, you know, I was just focused on that for the longest. So then recently I bought my first digital camera, and then I started getting back into it, and I was like, all right, I got to get back in the hang of this and everything. And it's just digital camera and the old film camera. They're similar, but they have their many, many differences. You know, like with the film camera, you take the picture and you know what it looks like until you develop it. And then with the digital camera, you have the chance to actually look at the picture, erase it and do it over again. You know?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's fun. And then taking all these pictures and actually sharing them with people, it kind of helps motivate other people to get into it. And I've actually got a couple other friends that got into the hobby lately too. And, you know, another friend from high school, she bought her kids actually today their first model cars, and they're going to try to build them for the Vintage Yellow show in September too. So little by little, I've been trying to like show people, you know, there's other things to do besides sit on your phone all day and stare at it.
Yeah, you're right. When's that show coming up? The Vintage Alley Motor Car Show. That's the one in September?
Yeah, September 7th, and that one's in downtown Hayward. So Vintage Alley Show, it's a mixture of both real cars and model cars and bicycles. So it's pretty big. Last year, I think we had close to 220 cars on display, real cars. And this is from like within four blocks, you know, within downtown Hayward. So it stretches all B Street and Main Street, the cross street. And
that's a lot.
The model car show was indoors. We always had it indoors. Beto's the one that originally started it. I helped work with him the first year he did it. The second year, then he passed away, and I ended up taking over after that. And then the last year was a little bit small because I think it was the Vegas Super Show was the same weekend. And we didn't know it was going to be that big of an impact. So a lot of guys went to the Vegas Super Show, and there were some model cars there at the Vintage Alley Show last year, but it wasn't as much as the year before. The year before, I had close to, I think, 150-something model cars on the show displayed that registered, you know. And we have every different style, so it's not just, you know, customs and lowriders. It's everything, most cars, imports, hot rods, street rods, special interest. Like even if you got, you know, a custom golf cart, that's the one that took special interest last year too. He took first place. So it's a little bit of everything for model cars. It's just not, you know, classic cars. So we have awards. And then this year I'm going to try to do something a little bit different too. I'm going to try to, there's a few big name painters out here. You know, there's, of course, there's Leisure Lines Customs. There's Tony Parker. He's an amazing painter that does custom lowriders and hot rods and everything. And he's a badass fabricator too with real cars. So there's him, and then there's old school pinstripers here too in the Bay Area. There's what's his name? Rory Pentecost, that's his name. He's a badass pinstriper. He's been doing it for years too. So I'm going to try to get a hold of all these painters in the Bay Area that are well known.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to hand them a model car and be like, detail is up to you. It doesn't even have to be detailed. Anything, like you don't even have to open the hood, but just go crazy on the paint. And I'm going to have them build each of their version of the same car, paint it how they want. And then, you know, I'm going to have to pick out a winner. I'm going to make the award for that one too. So it's going to be a custom award, you know, like a one-off award. So kind of help them out. And then, because model cars to me, it's what gets people started. It either gets you started into the real world of cars or it pushes you away type of deal. But when you build model cars as a kid and then when you get older and you buy that real car, you're kind of like, oh, this goes here. I remember the instructions.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm trying to tap back into with some of these painters and shit. Like, go ahead, build this car, paint it however you want, and then show it at the show, and first place wins. And if they want to donate it to the show after they're done with it, I'll gladly accept it. But instead of me keeping it, I'm going to give it to one of the kids in the audience, you know, that comes out and checks it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that way the kids get motivated to kind of jump in and get back into it too.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, so
that's pretty cool.
Trying to do a little different things here and there, but hopefully if it works, it works. If not, there's always next year too. So
with like the hobbies and everything that you got going on and your projects that you're working on, does like all this other work that you're doing, you know, curating these events and stuff, and getting things together, does it ever start to become kind of hard where you're like, you know what? Like, I don't know how I'm going to do this.
Yeah, it does. I'm not going to lie. There's been a few times where I'm sitting here, like, at my bench and just kind of staring at the stuff. It's kind of like, I get frustrated with some of the model cars, and then I get frustrated with some of the events, and it's like, there's been other car shows, like, in Alameda, Berkeley, and then Pleasanton, and a few spots that reached out to me, and they're like, hey, we want to incorporate model cars to our show. What do we do? And trying to work with them, and then they don't want to work with you sometimes, and some other ones just literally throw everything at you and they tell you, here, you figure it out. And it gets frustrating at times, but when if it works out, it works out, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. So But when it doesn't work out, you can't be down on it. It's kind of like, all right, this is what happened when that was wrong, so when I get the opportunity again through somebody else, this is what we're going to improve on. And luckily I've been helped out by a lot of people over the years to kind of improve on some of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, have you met Joe Estrada?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So thanks to him, he's been helping me out and introducing me to a lot of people that are organizing car shows. And a few of them have reached out to me and said they want to do model car shows. So
that's awesome.
Lario is one of them. He wants to improve his model car show. So I've been working with him back and forth. And hopefully this year we're going to do a little bit better. And then there's a few other shows up and coming. High school car shows, like fundraiser, they want to do model cars too. And I've been working with people back and forth, you know, once a week, twice a week, doing phone calls, emails, this and this. Hopefully somebody's able to take on, and next year, instead of having four or five model cars here in the Bay Area, there's probably going to be maybe 15 and 20. So if one person misses one next week or the month after, they have another one to go to, you know. So Just to make it a little bit easier than everybody else around here.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, thankfully, through Joe Estrada, he's been working and starting a magazine. It's called La Cultura Magazine. I don't know if you've seen their Instagram page.
No, I don't think I have. It sounds familiar. Maybe I have. La Cultura?
Yeah, La Cultura Magazine. All right, let me see. If anything, I'll forward it to you later on, too. But He's actually given me the opportunity to help him out with the model car section of the magazine, too. And when you said you saw me taking a bunch of pictures at NNL, that's what the pictures were for. So I covered most of the pictures for NNL for the first issue. It's actually coming out next month.
Nice.
Of La Cultura magazine too. So, and he's got photographers, you know, in the southern area. He's got photographers in Arizona, Nevada, in the north part of California, further up, like Oregon. So he's got photographers everywhere covering model car show events, car shows, motorcycles, bicycles. So the magazine incorporates everything that's car culture and people related to the car culture, and he's expressing it in the magazine. So it'll be good. When it comes out, it kind of gives you the glimpse of, you know, your weekend warrior cruiser that goes out cruising every weekend, or maybe a big fancy hot rod or low rider that's been, you know, detailed top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a mixture of both worlds into one magazine. So it'll be pretty good once it comes out.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'll have to check that out and support that. Another thing that you had curated, I remember a while back, was the Caprice magazine, or the Glasshouse magazine, right?
Yeah, and Paul and Mike had reached out to me. We had met at a car show, and he saw the Caprice that I built, and he was really interested in doing model car features in his magazine. And this was his first magazine besides his actual, you know, business of selling, you know, Caprice parts and everything from 70 to 77 or 78, I think. He buys cars. He does all the work himself. He'll go out, buy the car, bring it back home, part it out, and sell you piece by piece. Things you can't get from the catalog anymore. And then between that and doing the magazine, it was overwhelming. And hopefully he's going to be able to do a second issue sometime soon. But it just came, it was a lot of work, more work than he imagined it would. So from what I heard, he's still working on it. And at that time I was going through, you know, a lot of family things, and then work was going crazy for me too. So I told him straight up, you know, I just don't have the time to do this magazine right now. And we kind of had a little bit of fallout, but we both understood where we were coming from. So Hopefully it picks up again, and he's going to have another issue coming up pretty soon. And he does put out calendars too every year, and kind of waiting to see if he's going to incorporate model cars into his calendar this year or not.
Yeah, because I did pick up that Glasshouse issue, that first one, and it was done nice, dude. I thought that magazine looked dope.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I saw the pictures in there of the model cars. I was like, dude, this is dope. Inglewood's in there.
Yeah.
Was it just him, or was there somebody else, right? That was also featured in that issue.
There was him. There was my car. I think it has a magazine around here somewhere.
I know I have it, but I have mine like with all my magazines like tucked away in a box.
Yeah, since I recently moved, I still have shit put away in boxes, so I don't know where half of the stuff is right now. But there was him, and then there was Chris from Hayward, Chris Granados. He had his car in there too, his model car, which was actually a replica of his real car. And I think there was one more in there too. I think one of Evan's old cars was in there, Evan Gutierrez. And he's actually a table scraper member too. But I don't know who owns his car now. I think it was one of the ones he sold. Damn, I can't find it. I got my Teenagers magazine, but I don't have anything. Yeah, I can't find another one right now. Yeah, there was one more. I can't remember the guy's name, and I feel weird. For some reason, I can't remember who it was. Yeah, I have to find it later.
Yeah, man, that was pretty cool. How many members are there in Table Scrapers?
I want to say close to 15, 16 members, I think.
Nice. Do you know, like, when they started it?
That, I'm not too sure. I know some of the guys have been... They've known each other since like the early 90s. Back in the days, like, I don't know if you remember or ever seen, well, they'll get the Dayton style wheel, and instead of doing actually tires, like the 520 tires, it'd just be an O-ring to give it the 520 look back in the day, which I remember some of my brothers and his friends doing back in the day. I don't know if you ever seen pictures of that. Or
yeah, I've seen some pictures on the magazine, the Loretta Bicycle. But
yeah.
When I saw that, I didn't even know it was an O-ring. I was just like, what is that, you know? And then now and then later, I started to, these things here. I was like, right on. I was like, dang. So it was all tiny.
Yeah, that was the OG touch they used to do back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been doing it for quite a while, and I was just recently introduced into them 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, it's been pretty cool. It was like, I didn't know how big some of these guys were till I actually sat down and we had our first meeting a few years ago. And then I was like, holy shit, man, these guys, I remember seeing their work on Lay It Low since way back in the day. And Lay It Low was a whole different world, too. It's like, it was actually pretty good because people joked around, clowned each other, and but he still had a good time at the end of the day. And now with some of the social media, like, people can't even take a joke about their car anymore. It's kind of, you
and
eggshells sometimes.
Right. You would have to sign in though, right? Like every time, like a forum pretty much.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. And it was one thread. So it was like one builder posts their thread. Mm-hmm. You click on it, and the next thing you know, it's all their work and everything. You can follow up from there. And, you know, they have their own segments, like, you know, how to do hydraulics, you know, how to do A-arms, how to do patterns and this. And then, there was a one section about just shit-talking. You want to talk shit about somebody's work, you go there and just go back and forth. And it was more entertaining than anything, because you could literally sit there, and it was just comment after comment after comment.
They kept popping up.
Yeah, and it was just like, they even had a random section. Like, you put in the random section, and it's just the most randomest shit in the world. It was like dumbass videos from around the world, and it was like, oh, what the fuck is this? But it was a good time. Like, it was really entertaining.
Yeah.
It's just kind of sad to see it just disappear. I'm like, oh, man, somebody needs to bring it back.
Yeah, it's crazy how, like, those early apps, like, not the apps from, like, the phones, but, like, just from on your browser, how a lot of these, the ones that were the earlier ones, they were teaching you stuff, because when you were on forums, you couldn't just upload a photo. You needed to like have that photo bucket account, and then you needed to learn how to, you know, how to get the code and everything to paste it, do all that HTML stuff. And then I still remember, even like with MySpace too, when you could customize your page, you know, the background, you could add a little bar with music and all this stuff, but it was always like you had a friend who would find out the code, and then they would have something and be like, oh dude, how'd you do that? I want to put music on my page too. Let me hook me up with the code, or where'd you get it from? And it was all, you know, all this coding, and you're learning all this stuff, and you're customizing your page and everything. And now, and then later, you know, the newer modern apps, it's just so easy. Like, it's just download, and it's like you're automatically logged in, and you're not doing that much work. So I feel like the newer apps, it's probably what made all this other stuff die out, because I've gone on Lay It Low just to see, and randomly I'll still see like some posts being posted from people like trying to like talk, but it's almost like a ghost town.
Yeah.
Like there's not so much interaction. It looks like some of the posts look from like 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And it just seems like it would be like a hassle. Like if you try to jump in there now and like throw up some pictures, like you would have to find another website to host the pictures. And I don't know. Now it's just so easy now with like Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah. It's just the convenience of it nowadays. It's just makes you not want to put an effort into something else. Like, even if it was like the original creator of getting your ideas out there and showing your work, it's like nobody cares anymore. It's like, oh, it's this now. This is more popular and this is easier. So it's interesting to see how like technology's actually got some people where they might have started, you know, on Lay It Low doing model cars, but then they figured out, like, oh shit, you know, I really like computer work more. I want to learn how to do more, you know, coding and this and that. And I can see where a lot of people branched off from there to do different things. And it's been like that with some people too. Like, I've seen people where they started with model cars, but then they figured out that I just don't want to build model cars. I actually want to know how to make the mold to do this and blah, blah, blah. And now these guys are casting and making their own parts. And it's the gateway drug of everything else in a way.
Yeah.
You start with a model car, next thing you know, you're building a custom Tesla in your garage with, you know, fucking crazy ass motors or something like that.
Did you see that that one guy? I don't know where he's from, but he bought like a total like Tesla, and then he brought it back, like he built it and it works.
Oh yeah.
And that they wouldn't sell on parts or nothing, and I don't know, did he have to buy two of them or something? But
he had to keep buying like salvage cars and just part them out.
That was interesting. that was crazy. But yeah, it's a trip, because like you said, you know, it's almost like a gateway drug. Like it leads to other things. But at the same time, it's, you know, I could see it being like a, like a seed that gets planted and it becomes a tree, and then those branches, you know, it's like, there's a lot of things underneath that, that in different directions you can head pretty much. Like with
it. Because there's even a few guys that I met here in the Bay Area that started with model cars, and then they went from taking pictures of their own cars, and then they figured out they're into multimedia type stuff. So there's a guy named Caesar. He does solo model productions. He started with model cars, and now he does video production, photo shoots, and everything. And he figured out from just from model cars that he really likes, you know, taking pictures and videos of stuff. And he's doing his own video production and pictures, and he's pretty badass too. And he's a younger dude too. And I can see him going into like a better future and doing bigger things later on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool to see this kind of like branch out for people. And that's kind of one of the things I want to see from everybody do is just kind of like, you know, if you're good at cars, it's, some people are good at just paint. Some people are good at just detail. And some people are really good at motors. And then, you know, that could inspire them to do one and one-to-one skill if they, when they get older, you know, and it's a tricky thing, but it's, you know, one of those things that a lot of people don't appreciate about model building.
Mm-hmm.
It's like people just see it and it's disrespectful at times when people say, oh, they're just fucking toys. It's like, no, it's not toys. And I've gotten into arguments with curators from museums because they were kind of like, you know, it's like, oh, I told them, you know, what about featuring model cars in the museum? And they're kind of like, oh, we don't really see that as art. And to me, I took that as a kick in the balls. It's like, what do you mean you don't see that as art? And they're like, well, it's just a car. It's like, yeah, it's not just a car. It's like hours into interior detail, you know, hours into paint, hours into sanding and prepping the body, this and this. It's like, there's more art involved in this than the painting they have hanging on the wall with just one piece of line going across it. And then they get offended when I say that, and this is kind of like a back and forth type thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what kind of inspired me to push myself into more in the starting more model car shows, and hopefully eventually someday I want to have a section in the museum, like an actual museum, like the Oakland Museum, the Museum of Modern Arts in San Francisco, you know, feature model cars of famous builders or well-known builders, you know, to see, to show the what the work goes into them, and not just opening out a box, putting it together there, and it's done, you know, like a diecast car.
Yeah.
So hopefully one day I'll be able to push it into that direction to get model cars that have been built and well-known into these museums, and not just be a momentary display, but actually have it as a permanent piece in the museum, you know, so it could be there 30, 40, 50 years from now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's a kid that'll be on a field trip and sees the model cars, like, holy shit, I want to do that someday too, you know?
Yeah, it's so crazy how, like, depending what you present to kids at a young age, it just has this huge impact on them. I still remember in elementary, so this is like, in the early 80s, but remember when BMX was like huge, like freestyling in the bikes, but when these dudes would be going in circles freestyling with their bike, spinning the handlebars, standing on the seat, you know, bunny hopping and all these like different freestyle moves that they would be doing, tail whipping the back end and being on the front pegs and doing all this crazy stuff. So
yeah,
I remember seeing that for like they had a demo at the school, and I remember like all the classrooms came out and there was like these young kids that were in their bikes, and I guess they were like professionals. They were wearing like even like some uniform kind of stuff, and really bright colors too, by the way, neon colors. And they were out there, you know, busting out. And I remember just seeing, you know, that presentation and just like being mesmerized, like, wow, like, you know, especially because they're young, you know, it makes you feel like by the time I'm that age, I could probably do something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And, and it's crazy. Like it makes you believe, and it makes you like think like, dude, this is possible, or I want to do that, you know? And it's funny because when I started to see that at a young age, it definitely, I did right away, like, you know, tell my parents, like, I want a bike. And then I'm over here, like, trying to do that, but I couldn't. Because I remember my bike, the front, the handlebars had the brake, and the line would run from the handlebar, you know, down and to the neck, and then it would run back to the back brakes. So I would try to like spin the front, and it wouldn't. It would only go because it would get wrapped up with the brake line. So then, you know, as time goes on, your friends start to tell you like, oh, they don't even use brakes. Like it's just like just put pegs on your bike and you're good. And then I don't know, you start getting into it, you know, little by little, learning how to go really fast and then put your back foot on the back tire and brake and slide. And you start dirt jumping, you know, jumping off whatever, like anything, curbs and all this stuff.
And,
you know, it just starts to like change. So, you know, going back to like the model cars, like how you said, like you go to a museum, a field trip or something, you know, kids, young age, they see this stuff. You know, out of all those kids, there's going to be some of them that are going to be like, I want to paint like that. You know, I want to learn how to do that. Or at the same time, they're going to be like, man, I've always, you know, I want to work on old cars or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
that's the thing too. It's like, you see them at car shows every now and then. There'll be that one kid that's really into the cars where they're literally on their back, like looking up underneath the car to see how the headers come down and everything, or they're looking behind the wheel to see how it's all connected. And there's always a little bit of spark of interest in anything too. And shit, I still do that too. It's like, there's some cars that I'm trying to, like, you know, with my hands and knees and with my face on the concrete, trying to look underneath it. And then the owner comes up and is like, oh, if you want to look under, I can lift it up for you. You know, I gotta do that.
Imagine you bring one of those things that, you know, the mechanics use, lay on their backs. To wheel,
yeah,
wheel,
little creepers and shit.
Yeah, wheel. You bring one of those just to wheel in underneath. That'd be crazy. They'll be like, "What are you doing, dude?"
Start doing smog inspections at car shows too.
Right, you start doing everything right there on the spot. Man, that's crazy. So the event, it's not that far away, dude. The one you got coming up, July 13th.
No, it's not. I thought it was a while from here, but I'm looking at the schedule and I was like, holy shit, it's like literally a few weeks away.
So, mm-hmm. It's coming up. It's not that.
Yeah, like, I didn't realize that at the same day there's a big show in San Francisco too. It's the King of the Streets, the Lowrider show.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, that's a really good car show too, but the reason I picked to do it that day in Fremont, I'm doing a little seminar with kids for fishing. Like teaching them how to fish, how to set up their hooks, and pretty much how to go fishing.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, since I'm going to be in Fremont, and I promised some of the guys, you know, that live out in San Jose, Santa Clara, Fremont area, they come out to all the way to Oakland for the pizza night. I was like, you know, I'll do one out in your guys' trip someday. And I was like, fuck it, you know, why not? Two birds and one stone. I'll do the fishing seminar. Then after that, you know, hang out for a little bit and then just go do the model car and pizza night too. So. But I picked out this spot just to kind of check it out. And then after that, it won't just be in one location. I'm kind of trying to float it around where it's going to be South Bay, East Bay, North Bay, and kind of bounce it around to make it easier for everybody instead of just having one location where it'll be far for a lot of people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. What location? The first one, was that in Oakland? The first one you did?
Yeah. Yeah, it's in the Oakland Hills. It's a place called the Skyline Pizza. And it's a cool little spot because it's kind of like, you know, a lot of people when they hear Oakland, they're kind of like, oh, shit, Oakland, it's kind of ghetto, which, yes and no, there's ghetto parts, but there's not so ghetto parts in Oakland, too. And this place, Skyline Pizza, it's up in the hills where, one, you get a nice view. Two, it's pretty secluded and it's kind of kicked back. And when you get there, it's just really chill. And literally, we were the only ones there. We literally took over the pizza place. It was just model car guys, model car talk, and the owner was really excited about it too, because he's never seen anything like it. And then when he's seen guys come up with, like, you know, 40 different model cars, and he was blown away. He was just kind of like in shock. He was like, wow, this is kind of like Dungeons and Dragons, but with cars. And I was like, yeah, pretty much. You know, that's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And he he invited us in with open arms. He's like, whenever you guys want to use the whole place, just let me know ahead of time. And he's like, you guys set up the tables how you want. Just take over. All right, that works too. So
that's pretty cool.
He's been really helpful. And it's just, I'm hoping to find a few more locations that are welcoming as that. And it'll make it easier to do a bunch of events instead of just one every month. I want to do it every month, but then things happen in life and then, you know, kind of got to go take care of other things.
No, yeah. Every time I think of Oakland, I think of the team. I think of Ricky Henderson, Jose Canseco, yeah. You know, Mark McGuire, like all these other like players. I still have my Oakland A's baseball cards to this day.
Damn.
and there was a time later when Evil Bay came out, I started looking up Oakland A, like just sets of the team, and people would just sell you the pure set from whatever, like Upper Deck or whatever Donruss or whatever brand was out from the like trading cards. And, and I remember just always buying the Oakland team, Oakland A's.
Yeah.
I still have a hat too.
Damn.
Yeah, I got that. I still got that. Yeah. Right. If I ever go out there actually, 20 or nights, I'm gonna have to wear it, dude.
Oh, yes. Actually, from my house, if I look out the window when they do the fireworks night at the Coliseum, mm-hmm. I can see the top of the fireworks. I can't see them all, but I can see the top of the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty close to the open Coliseum, too.
Yeah, I like the colors, dude. I always like the yellow, the green, and the white. That could be a color palette for a car.
Yeah, I have thought about that too. Actually, at the NorCal Classic, this guy named Paulie, everybody knows him too because he would do a lot of the judging for the hoppers of the lowriders mm-hmm. at the hop at like Sam's Burgers or a lot of the shows. And he built a custom lowrider bike too, I think between him and his daughter or his niece. I'm not exactly too sure. But it's a half and half bike. Half of it's Oakland A's, another half is Oakland Raiders too. And it's a badass little bike. I'll send you a picture of it later on, too.
Cool, yeah. Send it through. I want to see that.
Yeah. And that was the thing about that show, too. It just made it that difficult to pick one bike. I'm like, man, I need to cut this award in half and just give it to two people. Yeah.
Dang. Nah, that was pretty dope that you did that on there with that collab. Yeah, I'm gonna have to check out Leisure Lines' page on Instagram.
Yeah, it's a... He's got a few custom things right now, but he's in the middle of switching to a new body shop. So he sold his old building and he bought a newer, bigger building. So he's in the middle of like moving.
Mm-hmm.
But he does everything from auto collision repair to custom work. And he's been doing a lot of pinstriping and airbrushing. He's starting to get back into it too, but he's been getting down since day one. And I've known him for about 16-17 years. Yeah.
Mm, that's cool. And
that's the other thing too, like I didn't know about him when I first met him. I met him at work, but he was the one that used to put on the hop nights at the Sam's Burgers where people bring the lowriders out, which is, dude, it used to get crazy at Sam's Burgers. Like people were gas hopping on the streets and
Oh dang.
It's fucking crazy. Like if you look up on YouTube, you know, Sam's Night, Hop Night or whatever, there's videos and videos and videos.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look that up. Sam's Night? Hop Night?
Yeah, Sam's Burgers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's the one that used to put it together and host it and get it all going.
That's cool. I'm gonna have to check that out. I was gonna ask you your name on Instagram. El Handis, what does that mean? Or, you know, how did you come up with that?
That's an old school thing. That's how I usually tell people. Like, if people knew me in San Leandro and Hayward, they knew me as Alex. People I grew up with in Oakland, they know me as Handis. Handis is my nickname that my mom gave me. So my real name is actually Alejandro.
Okay.
And she took Alejandro and cut it in half and turned it into Handis somehow.
So
even growing up through middle school and high school, that was my tagging name too. I just used to tag, you know, Handis, and people would be like, oh, Jandis. And I was like,
no.
In Spanish, you know, like you got half of it right and this and that, but I just stuck with it ever since because, you know, everybody had, you know, their typical common, like, you know, like nicknames. And I was like, you know, I never really heard the name Hondies and shit. Like, you know, people would make fun of me. Like, oh, it sounds like a girl's name. It's like, yeah, whatever. Don't care. But it's unique. And
yeah,
since my mom gave me that nickname, I was like, you know what? I'm just roll with it. And I've just been rolling with it ever since. And then, like, even when I send, like, people for that I know through Hayward and Fremont and other areas to my buddy's muffler shop in Oakland to do custom exhaust work done, they'll go in there and be like, oh, yeah, Alex told me to come here. And they're kind of like, who? Oh, Alex, you know, tall, skinny guy with tattoos. And like, oh, Hondies. And like, yeah, I think we're talking about the same person. And it's like, that's that thing. It's like when people know me from Oakland, it's Hondies. Yeah. But the people know me in Shine or Hayward, it's Alex. And little by little, the people being connecting the dots. Like, oh, okay, well, it's the same person. It's just two different names.
Yeah. Because I kept wondering, like, what that, what Hondies was, you know? Like, like, you know, nickname or if it meant something. I just didn't, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. It's pretty much a meaningful nickname, but.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Just,
it's stuck ever since.
Uh-huh. Nice. Yeah, I have an uncle. His name's Alejandro as well. So, I mean, my grandma never named him any. Just it was either Alejandro or Alex. If he was in trouble, Alejandro, you know, the full name, the full name and the last name. Like, that's when you know this fool was in trouble, you know.
And then that's when the chunk puzzle comes right afterwards, too.
Yeah. But when things are good, it's Alex. Yeah, no, that's funny. But hey, everyone listening out there, if you're going to be up in Northern California July 13th in the city of Fremont, make sure you stop by to Mountain Mike's Pizza for the model car and pizza night. And this is the number 3 hosted by Alex Ramirez.
Oh, yeah. And I'll provide the first pizza for free for everybody. And you just buy your own beer.
Yeah, that's dope. That's dope, man. Yeah. Well, hey, Alex, it was awesome talking to you, bro.
And, every time, dude. It's good times with you, man.
Yeah, and I'll post the flyer up, too. And anything else, you know, that you got lined up for the future, you know, let me know that I can share the information with everybody on the podcast.
Awesome. Thank you. And
online. And also, thank you again for the letter you sent me and the sticker. Such a cool sticker, the Table Scrapers MCC sticker.
Yeah, right on.
And that drawing that you did on the envelope was pretty rad as well. And yeah, man, it's just... Keep building whenever, you know, when we're not burned out.
And, Hell yeah.
And I'll keep in touch.
Always, man. And thank you for giving me your time to do the podcast, too. So, it's actually, this is my first podcast ever. So
yeah, man. No. It's a pleasure, dude. And, you know, keep up the good work with what you're doing. I really like what you're doing. You're doing something very positive, and at the same time, it's influencing a lot of people. And motivating people, you know, to come out, finish up their cars, and that's what it's about.
So, whenever you guys are out here in the Bay, you know, you're welcome to me. Give me a call, reach me out through Instagram, whatever. And then if you guys want to do one-on-one meets, or if you guys want a tour of the local hobby shops in the area, you know, I can show you around, too. Or
yeah, I'll be down for
anybody
that.
Wanting. Yeah, I could do a little bit of everything, so. Just let me know and I'll be ready.
Awesome. I'll take you on that offer.
Sweet.
Cool. All right, bro. Well, you have a good night. And we'll talk soon.
Right on. Thanks, man. Thanks again so much.
No, you're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Bye.
Word up, man.